الفوزي الأثري حفظه الله. He is from Bahrain.
The Sheikh
حفظه الله studied with the great scholar
العلامة
أبو عبد الله محمد بن صالح آل عثيمين حفظه الله
for a period of 10 years.
He also studied in the University of Imam Ibn Saud,
the branch that is in
Qasim, for 4 years, Sharia. And he is involved
and very active in the da'wah in his country. He has lectures in fiqh and lectures in aqidah, lectures in tawheed and hadith.
He has over 35 different works explaining the aqidah of the Salaf,
works in the issues of hadith,
science of hadith and knowledge of hadith, works refuting the people of bid'ah
and the people of Hizbiyah.
And he has also started various centers for the memorization of Quran.
And he is also over a project which is basically
collecting funds so that they can send
tapes of deen to everyone that would be in need of such tapes of deen,
whether it's in the issue of aqidah or the issues of fiqh or the issues of ibadat or the issues of whatever. So he, hafidhahullah,
has many works and he's very active. Our subject
today is the permissible and impermissible
boycotting of a Muslim.
When is it permissible to boycott or abandon a Muslim, avoid him and turn away from him?
And when is it impermissible to do so?
So this is our subject. And without taking any more time, we ask the Sheikh to start.
Hafidhahullah, and may Allah Ta'ala grant him tawfiq.
And let us all benefit from his words.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdu Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa fi hadha al-liqa' al-mubarak. إن شاء الله سوف نتكلم عن موضوع هام لكل مسلم، وهو مسألة الهجر. والهجر ما هو ممنوع في الشريعة، وما هو مشروع في الشريعة. فهناك هجر ممنوع وكذلك هجر مشروع، وفي فرق بين الهجر الممنوع والهجر المشروع. فهذا الموضوع موضوع مهم لكل مسلم، وبه يضبط المسلم الهجر الممنوع والهجر المشروع. متى يهجر متى لا يهجر؟ لأن بالهجر والتدابر والتقاطع بين المسلمين يدب فيهم الضعف وتنكسر شوكتهم. فلذلك هذا الموضوع يريد دراسة قوية وبحث قوي لكي هذا المسلم يعرف فقه الهجر وهذا الموضوع طويل جدا. لكن في هذه المحاضرة سوف نختصر هذا الموضوع، لكن إن شاء الله غير مخلين به، وتكون الفائدة فيه مرجوة، والمسلم يفهم الفرق بين الهجر الممنوع والهجر المشروع. ولعل نتكلم الآن عن الهجر الممنوع وهو الهجر المحرم، فلا يجوز بين المسلمين أن يقع الهجر، فلا يتقاطع أهل الإسلام ولا يتهاجروا ولا يتدابروا، لأن بهذا التجارب الهجر والتقاطع والتدابر تكون بينهم الاختلافيات وكثرة المشاكل، وبهذا تنكسر شوكتهم ويتسلط عليهم عدوهم، وبهذا أهل الإسلام يهلكون. فلا يجوز لأهل الإسلام أن يتقاطعوا ويتهاجروا ويتدابروا، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى حرم الهجران، والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كذلك، لأن إذا كان بين المسلمين التواصل والتراحم والمزاورة يأتلفون ويترحمون، وبهذا يقوون وتكون لهم شوكة قوية، وبهذه القوة يهزمون عدوهم من الخارج، من أهل الكفر من اليهود والنصارى، ومن الداخل يهزمون أصحاب البدع وأصحاب الأهواء. وفي ذلك أدلة، ونختصر ونذكر بعض الأدلة على تحريم الهجر بين المسلمين. فمن السنة حديث أبي أيوب رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يحل للمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث. وهذا الحديث رواه البخاري في صحيحه ومسلم في صحيحه، وهو دليل واضح صريح في تحريم الهجر بين المسلمين أو بين اثنين من المسلمين، فإذا تهاجر ليس لهم إلا ثلاثة أيام، بعد هذه الثلاثة أيام لابد على الإسلام أو على هذين المسلمين أن يتراجع عن التدابر والهجر فيما بينهما، وإلا وقع الإثم على الاثنين، وإلا وقع الإثم على المسلمين إذا تقاطعوا وتهاجروا. فلا يجوز الهجر بين المسلمين وأن بين أهل الإسلام، لأن ذلك يضعف شوكتهم. وفي رواية عند أبي داود في سننه: لا هجرة فوق ثلاث، فمن هجر أخاه فوق ثلاث فمات دخل النار، وإسناد هذه الرواية صحيح. انظر، لو هجر مسلم مسلما بعد ثلاثة أيام ومات المسلم الهاجر لأخيه المسلم دخل النار، وهذا يبين شدة الهجر وشدة حرمة الهجر، هجر المسلم. فلا يجوز للمسلم أن يهجر أخاه المسلم في أقل خلاف مثلا، أو خلاف شخصي، أو من غضب، أو من أي شيء، فتجد المسلم يهجر أخاه المسلم، فهذا لا يجوز حتى لو كان بينك وبينه خلاف، فلابد أن ينظر في هذا الخلاف كما سوف يأتي. أما إذا في الأمور الشخصية، الأمور الدنيوية، وهذا الغالب يكون، فهذا لا يجوز هجر المسلم. لكن سوف يأتي إن شاء الله إذا كان في المنهج كهجر أصحاب البدع هجر أصحاب الأهواء هذا واجب هجرهم، ويأتي الكلام على ذلك وأدلة من الكتاب والسنة وأقوال أهل العلم. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا يحل لمؤمن أن يهجر أخاه فوق 3 أيام. وهذا الحديث رواه مسلم في صحيحه. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا هجرة بعد 3. وهذا الحديث كذلك رواه مسلم في صحيحه. فبهذه الأدلة يتبين لنا تحريم هجر المسلم، فلا يجوز للشخص أن يهجر أباه، ولا يجوز له أن يهجر أمه، ولا أخاه، ولا أخته، ولا أقاربه، ولا يهجر مسلما وجيرانه، ولا أي شخص، بل يعظم الإثم إذا الشخص هجر أبوه من خلاف أو من أمر ما، أو يهجر أقاربه، أو يهجر جيرانه. وهذا حاصل من كثير من المسلمين، هؤلاء آثمون على هذا الهجر، لأن هذا الهجر ممنوع ومحرم. نعم.
الشيخ حفظه الله، after praising Allah تبارك وتعالى and singing salat and salam upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, started by saying that today in this blessed gathering, in this blessed meeting, this blessed liqa, he said, liqa mubarak, we want to deal with an important issue. And it is an important matter that is important for every single Muslim. And that is the issue of boycotting or abandoning one's brother. Abandoning is when a Muslim abandoning or boycotting another Muslim. We should understand that boycotting is of two types. A boycotting or abandonment which is forbidden in the Sharia, it is not permissible. And avoiding or boycotting that is permissible in the Sharia. And in this regard, we want to distinguish in this sitting of ours here between the two. And we want to give principles by which the Muslim can recognize which boycotting is allowed and which boycotting is not allowed. This distinguishing must be done because in general, it is not something that is permissible for the Muslim to boycott his brother, to boycott another Muslim, to turn away from another Muslim, to cut off from another Muslim. For this is an issue that brings about weakness for the ummah, takes away the strength of the ummah, and pleases the enemies of Islam. So because of this, this is a very lengthy, detailed issue, he said. But we would shorten it and summarize it. And he said, this matter, because it's so serious, requires a detailed bath, or research and investigation and study of it. So that the Muslim will have fiqh in his boycotting. He will have fiqh and understanding in his boycotting. Like he said, it's a very long matter, but we will try to shorten it without leaving out the most important benefits. And at arriving at the conclusion, for the Muslim to have at the conclusion of the sitting, an understanding of the two types of boycotting, the boycotting which is permissible and the boycotting which is impermissible, and to be able to distinguish between them. So he said, we start first and foremost with the forbidden boycott. That boycotting or abandonment of a Muslim that is haram, that is forbidden. And this is what is generally known, that it is haram, forbidden for a Muslim to cut off from, to disconnect himself from, to abandon or boycott another Muslim. This is something known to be forbidden. And this is something which if the Muslims separate from one another and boycott one another and isolate themselves from one another, turn their backs on one another, this is something that brings weakness amongst the Muslims, takes away the strength of the Muslims, and therefore pleases the enemies and gives the enemies of Islam a chance to overcome the Muslims. As a matter of fact, the Sheikh Hafidahullah says something stronger than that. He said it is a means for the destruction of the Muslims. It is a means for the destruction of the Muslims. That when the Muslims are cut off from one another, when there are no connections of brotherhood, when they turn it back from one another, when they abandon one another, when they boycott one another, this is something that pleases the disbelievers, something that takes the strength from the Muslim, and it is a means, because the Muslims are so far away from one another, separate in hearts and in minds and viewpoints and having differences, it is a means for the destruction of the Ummah. And because of this, the Messenger sallallahu, first of all, Allah tabarak ta'ala in the Quran forbid it, that a Muslim should cut himself off from another Muslim or boycott another Muslim. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Sunnah has forbid it, that a Muslim should cut himself off from another Muslim or boycott another Muslim. And in this regard, there are several ahadith. First of all, also along with this, he said, before he mentions the evidences, that when the Muslims are boycotting one another, cutting off one another, abandoning one another, this makes them weak and they cannot face their two enemies. Their two enemies. Their enemies from outside, which is the disbelievers, the mushriks, the kuffar, and the enemies from inside, which are Ahlul Bid'ah, people of innovation, and people of desires, ahwa. This cutting off and abandonment and abandoning one's brother and boycotting one brother when it's done in the impermissible and haram way for no purpose, and he will mention that further also, for no purpose other than personal reasons, not an issue of minhaj, he say, and dealing with Ahlul Bid'ah, which he says he will get into that later, for that is an obligation. That is an obligation to boycott and abandon and avoid and cut yourself off from the people of innovation. We're talking about the Muslim, the person upon Islam, upon the deen, who is not from Ahlul Bid'ah. The general rule is that it is forbidden to boycott him and to cut him off. In this regard, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in the Sahih Imam Bukhari and Sahih Imam Muslim, the hadith of Abi Ayyub, it is not permissible for a Muslim to abandon or avoid his brother beyond 3 days. That's the hadith. That's the text of the hadith. It is not permissible. It is not permissible. It's haram for a brother to avoid or boycott his brother for more than 3 days. And this hadith, as he said, is in Bukhari Muslim. There's another narration that is brought in the Sunan of Abi Dawud, which states, there is no boycotting or avoiding your brother beyond three days. And he who does beyond that will enter the hellfire. And this is authentic hadith. He said, this hadith shows the seriousness of cutting off from one's brother, the seriousness of abandoning one's brother, the seriousness of avoiding one's brother. Said these ahadith are referring to, you have a difference with your brother in a personal matter. You have a difference with your brother in a small, minor issue. You have a problem with your brother or a difference with your brother over matters of dunya. Matters of dunya. It is not permissible to avoid your brother beyond these 3 days. For the sin after that will be upon both of them. And in this state, they are in a state of sin and a state of disobedience to Allah Ta'ala after those 3 days have passed and they have not reconciliated and they have not made peace between themselves. This is regarding the Muslim. He said regarding the permissible boycotting or the people of Bid'ah, he would discuss that in more detail as we go further. He then brought another narration by Ibn Umar. that says it is not permissible for a Muslim to avoid his brother or boycott his brother above 3 days. Not going beyond that. So all of these narrations point to the fact that it's not permissible for a Muslim to cut himself off from any Muslim. And he went into the fact, therefore it's not permissible for you to cut yourself off from your father, who is a Muslim. Your mother, Muslim. Your brother, Muslim. Your sister, Muslim. Your relatives that are Muslims. Your neighbors that are Muslims. It is not right. And he said specifically those individuals who have the audacity to have a difference with their father and then avoid their father. This is a great sin. This is a great sin. So the general rule now that we understand is that the impermissible, the haram boycotting, is when you boycott or avoid or abandon your brother over personal small issues, over matters of dunya, over differences of opinion in matters that are small and minor, and you turn away from him and he turns away from you, you don't speak to him and he doesn't speak to you, you avoid him and he avoids you. This is something that is not permissible.
فبعد ذلك نتكلم عن أقوال أهل العلم في الهجر المحرم واستنباط أهل العلم من هذه الأحاديث التحريم. فالأحاديث التي سلفت حديث أبي أيوب في تحريم الهجر وحديث ابن عمر في تحريم الهجر وحديث أبي هريرة في تحريم الهجر. قال ابن حبان رحمه الله تعالى في روضة العقلاء صفحة 207 قوله: لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه المسلم فوق 3 أيام، فمن فعل ذلك كان مرتكبا لنهي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخيرهما الذي يبدأ بالسلام. انتهى كلامه. فيقول حافظ ابن حبان رحمه الله تعالى: لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه المسلم فوق 3 أيام، فمن فعل ذلك، فمن هجر أخوه المسلم يعني، كان مرتكبا لنهي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخيرهما الذي يبدأ بالسلام. فالمسلم الذي له الخيرية هو الذي يبدأ السلام لأخيه المسلم، فهذا المسلم هو الملتزم بالإسلام، هو الملتزم بتعاليم الإسلام، هذا هو المسلم الطيب الخير الذي له الأجر عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، هو الذي يتعامل التعامل الطيب مع مع المسلمين أو إخوانه المسلمين. فأخير هذين الاثنين المتهاجرين هو الذي يبدأ بالسلام. لا يقول أنني اختلفت مع أخي المسلم، أو مثلا أن أخوه المسلم تعدى علي مثلا بالضرب، أو تعدى علي بالسب أو الشتم، أو تعدى علي بعض الخلافيات. فليس عليك هذا الأمر، عليك أنت أن تبدأ هذا الرجل بالسلام، ولك الأجر عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، والله سبحانه وتعالى يرفعك درجات بتواضعك لله سبحانه وتعالى. من تواضع لله رفعه الله، حتى لو اعتدى عليك أخوك المسلم، لين له أنت وسلم عليه، حتى لو أعرض عنك ما يريد أن يسلم عليك، سلم عليه أنت، تواضع، ليس له، لله سبحانه وتعالى، فسوف يرفعك الله سبحانه وتعالى ويرزقك الأجر، وتحصل معية الله سبحانه وتعالى لك في حياتك اليومية، والتأييد منه والنصر لأنك أنت تأخذ بما قال الله وقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا هو الأصل. فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوا إلى الله والرسول، أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول. فالرجل الذي يطيع الله ويطيع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم له التأييد وله النصر منه سبحانه وتعالى. ولا تظن أنك إذا سلمت على أخيك المسلم الذي اختلفت معه أنت أن هذا ذل لك، لا، هيرفع لك وأنت تتواضع لله سبحانه وتعالى. فتواضع لأخيك المسلم حتى لو اعتدى عليك، وبهذا المسلم الذي اعتدى عليك ثم بعد ذلك تواضعت له وسلمت عليه وجلست معه وتبسمت له وزرته، هو سوف يلين. وهذا شيء مجرب، عندما نختلف مع مسلم نلين له ونزوره ونجبر بخاطره وبقلبه، تجد أن هذا المسلم يلين لك، وبعد المخاصمة لتكون الألفة وتكون المحبة. وهذا أمر مجرب ومعروف. فإذا اختلفت مع أخيك المسلم فلا تتقاطع معه وتدابر معه وتهجره، لا، تواضع له، لأن هذا أصل من أصول أهل السنة والجماعة، عدم الهجر أو التحريم بين المسلمين. هذا قول ابن حبان رحمه الله تعالى. وقال ابن حجر عن أحاديث الهجر: هذا الهجر من حظ النفس. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله تعالى، يعني ليس لله ولا لرسوله، فلذلك هو محرم. وبين الحافظ ابن حجر هذا الكلام في فتح الباري بشرح صحيح البخاري، لأن هذا الهجر المحرم بين المسلمين لحظ النفس، فلذلك هو محرم. فلا يجوز لأي إنسان أن يهجر أخاه لحظ نفسه. أي خلاف تهجر أخوك المسلم، أي خلاف تهجر أبوك، تهجر أمك، تهجر أخوك، تهجر أقاربك، تهجر جيرانك، هذا لا يجوز. فلا يجوز لك أن تهجر المسلمين فتقرب إلى المسلمين وأتلف مع المسلمين يكون لك قوة، لكن بالتدابر والتقاطع يدب الضعف الأمة ثم هلاك الأمة على يد أعدائها من الخارج والداخل. فبعدم الهجر، بعدم التقاطع، بعدم التدابر تكون الألفة والقوة بين المسلمين. وهذا الذي كان في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، كان للصحابة قوة لأنهم مؤتلفين مجتمعين لا يتهاجرون إلا لمصلحة شرعية، ويأتي الكلام على هذا الهجر. لكن الهجر عندهم ممنوع ومحرم، فلا يتهاجرون السلف الصالح، فكانت عندهم القوة وكانت معهم الألفة والاجتماع، فهزموا دول الكفر من الخارج وهزموا المنافقين من الداخل وأصحاب الأهواء من الداخل، فهم سادات الأمم إلى قيام الساعة بسبب ائتلافهم واجتماعهم على الكتاب وعلى السنة. قال ابن مفلح في الآداب الشرعية جيم واحد صفحة 269، وهذا يدل على منع الهجر لأقاربه لحق نفسه. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله تعالى. فهذه الأحاديث تدل على تحريم الهجر بين المسلمين وهجر الأقارب لحظ النفس. إذا كان لحظ النفس فالهجر ممنوع، لكن إذا كان الهجر لله وللرسول فهذا الهجر مشروع بيأتي الكلام عليه. وقال النووي في شرح صحيح مسلم جيم 16 صفحة 117 قال العلماء في هذا الحديث تحريم الهجر بين المسلمين أكثر من ثلاث وإباحتها في الثلاث الأول بنص الحديث والثاني بفهمه انتهى كلامه. وهذا قول الحافظ النووي تحريم الهجر بين المسلمين كما بين أهل العلم أكثر من ثلاث وإباحتها في الثلاث الأول بنص الحديث والثاني بفهمه. وقال الإمام محمد بن الحسن في الموطأ صفحة 324 وبهذا يعني بهذه الأحاديث نأخذ لا ينبغي الهجرة بين المسلمين انتهى كلامه. فهذا كذلك الإمام محمد بن الحسن صاحب الإمام أبي حنيفة النعمان بن ثابت الكوفي رحمه الله تعالى يقول وبهذا نأخذ لا ينبغي الهجرة بين المسلمين ما يجوز لأن الشارع حرم الهجر بين المسلمين. تجد جيران من المسلمين متهاجرين منطقة كلها مسلمين متهاجرين أصحاب من المسلمين متهاجرين جماعة من المسلمين متهاجرين في أقل خلاف هذا لا يجوز. فلا بد على أهل الإسلام أن ينتبهون لهذا الأمر فالأمر عليهم خطير فبهجرانهم يدب بينهم الخلاف والمشاكل حتى تصل إلى المحاكم. وبهذا يؤثمون ولهم عقاب في الدنيا قبل الآخرة ولهم النار إذا ماتوا على هذا الهجران كما بينت رواية أبي داود في السنن وهي لا هجرة فوق ثلاث فمن هجر أخاه فوق ثلاث فمات دخل النار. فلذلك لابد أن ينتبه الإنسان لهذا الأمر. وقال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى في وجوب التثبت في الأخبار صفحة 39 والتهاجر إنما يقع بسبب شياطين الجن والإنس يقعونه بين المسلمين لتشتيت جماعتهم وتفريق كلمتهم انتهى كلامه. فيقول الشيخ صالح والتهاجر إنما يقع بسبب شياطين الجن والإنس يقعونه بين المسلمين لتشتيت جماعتهم وتفريق كلمتهم. فاعلم أن هذا الهجران والتشتيت والتشويش يقع بين المسلمين بسبب شياطين الجن والإنس فاحذرهم. لماذا؟ يشتتون جماعة المسلمين الحقيقية ويشتتون كلمة المسلمين لكي يضعفون. فانتبه لهذا الأمر. نعم.
Now, Sheikh Hafidhullah states that we will move on to the statement of the scholars regarding the impermissible boycotting. The impermissible boycotting. The first scholar that he brings, the first one he quotes from, after having brought the ahadith of Abu Ayyub, and hadith of Ibn Umar, and hadith of Abu Huraira, regarding all of them, regarding the issue that is forbidden for a Muslim to avoid his brother, or to abandon his brother, or boycott his brother beyond 3 days, he brings a statement of Ibn Hibban in a book called Rawdatul Uqala, page 207. Ibn Hibban said, what is to be understood from these narrations is that it's not permissible for the Muslim to boycott or to avoid his Muslim brother. For one Muslim to man or woman, to boycott another Muslim. We say the term brother because this is more understandable sometimes. But of course this applies to every Muslim. He said this is a great sin. And if he does it beyond 3 days, of course he falls into that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has forbidden. Ibn Hibban says he falls into that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has forbidden. And he says the best of them, the best of these Muslims, is the one who begins to say salam first, who tries to reconciliate first, who says salam to his brother first. This is the Muslim who is good. This is the Muslim who wants good for himself and good for his brother. This is the Muslim who wants to act according to the Quran and according to the Sunnah. This is the Muslim who wants to act according to the way of the righteous predecessors. This is the Muslim who is described here as the best of them. The best of them. The best of them, out of these two, they have this difference between them, that they have separated because of it, they have avoided one another because of it, they have boycotted one another because of it, they have abandoned one another because of it. Yet, after 3 days is over, this brother makes sure that he begins to say salam to his brother, even though his brother may turn away. And this is the way of the deen, in a sense that this individual is khayr or good because he's acting upon what Allah Ta'ala wants and acting upon what the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam states, not acting upon his own personal viewpoint or personal feelings. And this is the quality of the believer, as Allah says, if you differ in any matter, take it back to Allah and to His Messenger. Differ in any matter, take it back to the Quran and to the sunnah. And this is how the Muslim should be. Even if his brother turns away from him, even if his brother avoids him, even if his brother doesn't want to accept anything from him, he salams him first because he is being humble. Humble. Humble to Allah Ta'ala, not humble to the brother. Believing in the narration that he was humble for Allah, Allah will raise him up. He was humble for Allah, Allah will exalt him, raise him up. So due to this humbleness, or due to the fact that this is something that Allah Ta'ala has promised, he is humble to his brother. And he is gentle with his brother. And he shows kindness to his brother. And he visits his brother, even though his brother wants to turn away from him. Even if his brother doesn't want to show him love, he shows his brother love. Even if his brother doesn't want to talk to him, he may not respond to his salam. He is to be patient. He is to be humble. He is to be the one striving for that which is best. He is to be the one humbling himself for Allah Ta'ala. When the Muslims visit one another, show love for one another, show concern for one another, be gentle to one another, this is when the Muslims will have togetherness and will have love. And this is the way of Ahlul Sunnah. This is the way of the people of Sunnah. Then he mentions that Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says about this narration, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, it's not permissible for a Muslim to avoid his brother beyond 3 days, Ibn Hajar says, this Hajar that is mentioned in that hadith is a boycotting or abandonment due to the nafs. It's a personal thing. Due to the desires, due to the low desires, due to selfish reasons. And he says, Allah and His Messenger has no part of it. Or the ta'aliq of the shaykh, Allah and His Messenger has no share in it. He's not avoiding his brother for those 3 days because his brother did something that displeased Allah and His Messenger. He's avoiding his brother for those 3 days for a personal reason. This is what Ibn Hajar says. This is forbidden because this form of boycotting or avoiding or abandoning or disassociating yourself from your brother is due to the nafs, due to one's selfish reasons, one's personal reasons. And this is something that must be understood, that this thing is horrible. It's horrendous. It's something that the Muslim should not want to do and be involved in. For it is that, as he said, which will bring about differences among the Muslims. It is that which will weaken the Muslims. It is that which will allow their enemies to overcome them. As we said, their outward enemies will see them separated, disassociated from themselves, abandoning one another, boycotting one another, isolating themselves from one another, and will take that time to destroy them because of the weakness that they have. And their inside enemies, Ahlul Bid'ah, the people of innovation, Ahlul Ahwa, the people of desires, will use that time to destroy them from inside. Because their strength has melted. Their strength has been extinguished by the constant differing and avoiding and abandonment of one another based upon nothing but personal desires. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, matters were not like this. They would not avoid one another on these issues, these personal matters. They were together, loving one another for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, loving one another in accordance with the book of Allah tabaraka ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, visiting one another, being close to one another. There was togetherness, there was hearts bound together, closeness, and therefore there was strength, and therefore there was power, and therefore they were able to overcome the enemies of Islam and conquer them. He then relates that Ibn Muflih says, this shows that it is impermissible for a Muslim to avoid his brother for more than 3 days. This narration that we have heard shows that this is a matter that is haram. And this is something that the scholars have agreed upon, as comes the next statement of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah in an explanation of Sahih Muslim, that the scholars have agreed upon the fact that avoiding your brother beyond 3 days is haram. And therefore what is to be understood from this is that the first 3 days is only permissible time for you. That Allah Ta'ala is allowing that 3 day period there, but after that 3 day period, it is haram to boycott and avoid your Muslim brother. Imam Nawawi said this can be understood from the wording of the hadith and from the meaning of the hadith. Then the Shaykh Hafidhullah said, he brought a narration of Muhammad bin Hassan in Muwatta, in which it says, and Muhammad bin Hassan of course is the companion of Abu Hanifa, it is not permissible to boycott your Muslim brother. This is what the hadiths indicate, the ahadith. لا ينبغي. Does not befit a Muslim to boycott his Muslim brother. The Shaykh says, you find that Muslims will be neighbors. Both of them are Muslims, living in the same neighborhood. Both of them are Muslim, and they're avoiding one another. This one not speaking to that one, and that one not speaking to that one. This one not greeting or salaming that one, and that one not greeting or salaming that one. And they're Muslims in the same neighborhood. He said, you find it in communities. You find it among groups. You find it among relatives. And to sometimes the issue goes all the way to the courts. A difference with your Muslim brother and avoiding him goes all the way to the courts. Says this is to show us that this is a dangerous issue. So he brought the statement of Sheikh Salih Fawzan Hafidhullah in a book entitled Checking Your Sources, page 39, that boycotting, avoiding or abandoning your brother is a means that is used by the shayateen, the devils, of jinn and of men. Of jinn and of men. It is a means used to separate between the Muslims. To separate between the Muslims.
فتجد المسلم إذا مر على أخيه المسلم لا يسلم عليه. أو تجد الشخص إذا الأب ضرب الشخص مثلا الابن أو البنت أو مثلا قطع عليه بعض النقود أو مثلا اختلف معه في أمر ما، تجد الابن يهجر أباه، فهذا لا يجوز له، حتى لو ضربك، حتى لو غضب عليك الوالد، حتى لو حرمك من بعض الأمور التي تريدها مثلا، فلا يجوز لك أن تهجر أباك، فإن هذا الهجر محرم. نعم، إذا كان الأب مبتدعا حزبيا وقامت عليه الحجة وبين له واستمر في البدعة ونشرها، فهذا له كلام سوف يأتي بعد ذلك. أما غالب الآباء الآن آباء عاديين من عوام المسلمين، وهم من المسلمين، فلا يجوز هجرانهم قاه، أو يهجر زميله لأجل خلاف، فهذا لا ينبغي. فينبغي للمسلم أن يقارب أخوانه من أهل دينه، فيجب على المسلم أن يقترب إلى أناس من أهل دينه ويتعاون معهم على البر والتقوى. وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى، ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان، هذا أصل أصول السنة والجماعة. بهذا الدليل من القرآن لابد نتعاون ونجتمع على نشر الدعوة السلفية في جميع العالم، نشرها، فهذا أصل عظيم قل من يفهمه في مسألة نشر الدعوة السلفية، لأن الدعوة السلفية هي دعوة الكتاب والسنة، كان عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والصحابة ومن بعدهم التابعين وأتباع التابعين وهكذا إلى يومنا هذا، قام بها أهل العلم كالشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله تعالى، والشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني رحمه الله تعالى، والشيخ محمد صالح عثيمين حفظه الله تعالى، والشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى، والشيخ ربيع المدخلي حفظه الله تعالى، وهكذا. فلا بد أن نتعاون مع أهل العلم هؤلاء على القيام بنشر الدعوة السلفية. بنشر الدعوة السلفية يجتمع أهل الإسلام على الألفة والمحبة، بدون الدعوة السلفية يكون التقاطع والتدابر والتهاجر بين المسلمين، لأن يكونون شذر مذر، ومعنى شذر مذر يعني يختلفون في لغة العرب ويفترقون، لأن يكونون أحزابا وجماعات، هذا يكفر هذا، وهذا يفسق هذا، وهذا يضلل هذا، وهكذا. ما في ضابط بين المسلمين، ما في أصل بين المسلمين، فيتدابرون ويتقاطعون، لأن دعوات كثيرة واتجاهات كثيرة وأحزاب كثيرة، بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرها في حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص، وهو حديث حسن أخرجه الترمذي في سننه والآجر في الشريعة واللالكائي في الاعتقاد والحاكم في المستدرك، وله شواهد كثيرة كحديث سعد بن أبي وقاص وحديث معاوية وحديث أنس، وهذا الحديث قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيه افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة كلها في النار، وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة كلها في النار، وسوف تفترق أمتي على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. قيل: وما هي يا رسول الله؟ قال: ما عليه أنا اليوم وأصحابي. فالثنتين وسبعين فرقة من هذه الأمة تقاطعت وتدابرت وتهاجرت وتحزبت فافترقت، فكان مصيرها النار. أما واحدة لا، اجتمعت وتعاونت وكانت على ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصحابة، على ما كان السلف الصالح، فنجوا ودخلوا الجنة وكانوا متحابين متوادين غير متهاجرين، فكانت هي الطائفة المنصورة، وهم أهل الحديث، وهم أهل الأثر، وهم السلفيون، وهم أهل الغربة. فهذه أسماء واحدة في جماعة واحدة. فإذا أردنا أن تجتمع الأمة على الكتاب وعلى السنة، فندعو الناس الآن بالدعوة السلفية، الدعوة الأثرية على طريقة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، والسلف على طريقة أهل الحديث أهل الأثر الذين مدحهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أهل الأثر عندما سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الذين على الأثر في حديث أبي هريرة، وهو حديث حسن أخرجه أحمد في المسند وأبو نعيم في الحلية بإسناد حسن، فسئل من هم الذين على الأثر، قال: أنا ومن معي، يعني الرسول والصحابة. ثم قيل: من يا رسول الله؟ قال: الذين على الأثر، أي الذين يتبعون السنة ويقومون بها ويدعون إلى السنة والأثر. ثم قيل: يا رسول الله منهم؟ قال: الذين على الأثر. ثم رفض ما بقي من الجماعات الإسلامية، ثم رفض الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الجماعات الحزبية، لأن هؤلاء يؤصلون الهجم بين المسلمين ويؤصلون التدابر والعياذ بالله بين المسلمين، ويؤصلون التقاطع بين المسلمين، فلا تذهب معهم لأن يؤصلون فيك أمور محرمة من الهجوة وغيره. فإذا ذهبت إلى الجماعة الحزبية الفلانية سوف تهجر أخوك المسلم السلفي، لعلك تهجر أخاك، تهجر أبوك، لأن هذه الجماعة الحزبية يؤصلون فيك الهجر المحرم والعياذ بالله. وبيأتي الكلام بالتفصيل على هذا الأمر. نعم.
The Sheikh حفظه الله continued: You find a Muslim not salaming another Muslim. He sees him and he sees him, and they don't greet one another at all. You find even worse than that, he says. You find a father who may discipline his son or his daughter, or may cut them off for some money or some spending that they think they require, or discipline them in some other shape, fashion, or form, and you find that this son will cut himself off from his father. His Muslim, and his father's Muslim, yet he cuts himself off due to this. It is not permissible for the son who is Muslim to cut himself off from his father who is Muslim, because he may beat him or may punish him or discipline him or forbid him from some money or whatever. This is not permissible. to boycott him and avoid him based upon those issues. Now, if the father is a mubtadi', an innovator, or a hizbi, and a caller to that, and the evidence has been established against him, and he continues, that's another subject that the Sheikh said he would deal in detail as we go along with this talk, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But he said that is not the case for most Muslim fathers. Most Muslim fathers is from the awam, from the general layman, not knowing much about matters of deen and so on and so forth. But you find the individuals will cut themselves off. After having heard these narrations that we have heard, they will cut themselves off from their father, and cut themselves off from their mother, and cut themselves off from his friend or his peers, and cut himself off from his brother. This is not the manner of the deen. This is not what Allah Ta'ala wants for the Muslim regarding his Muslim brother or his Muslim mother or his Muslim father or his Muslim friend or his Muslim peer. This is not something that Allah Ta'ala wants from them. But rather, the Muslims are supposed to be close and together. The Muslims are supposed to have togetherness of the heart. The Muslims are supposed to have a camaraderie and a love and a togetherness. And this is something necessary, for this is the only means by which we can cooperate upon the deen of Allah Ta'ala and upon spreading the deen. And this cooperation is wanted, for Allah Ta'ala said in the verse that we all know, and cooperate with one another upon birr and taqwa, upon good matters, and fearing Allah Ta'ala, and don't support or cooperate with one another upon sin and transgression. For those of us who want to spread the da'wah to Salafiyyah, the da'wah to Salafiyyah, the da'wah that is based on Quran and Sunnah and the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and those three blessed generations, those of us who want to spread it, many times we don't pay attention to a particular point. That this spreading can only be really done when we establish the true brotherhood that will naturally come about, that will naturally come about from understanding the principles and the way and the method of the Dawah Salafiyyah. This Dawah Salafiyyah is the true da'wah. This is the true da'wah. The da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and those who follow him righteously. The da'wah of the scholars since that time of the Prophet sallam to this day. The da'wah of Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah. The da'wah of Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani rahimahullah. The da'wah of Sheikh Muhammad al-Sari al-Thaymain hafidhullah. The da'wah of Sheikh al-Rabi Ibn Hadi al-Madkhali hafidhullah. This is the da'wah to haqq, the true da'wah, the true da'wah, the true call. And there's no way of spreading this if we cut off from one another and split ourselves into groups. For this is what Muslims have begun to do. They have begun to separate themselves into groups. This one declares this group disbelievers. This one declares this group fusaq, evildoers. This one declares this group astray. Each one speaking about the other group. Separating, isolating, abandonment, avoiding one another, isolating themselves in separate groups. Each group declaring the other one is astray, the other one is disbeliever, the other one are sinners, and so on and so forth. Ahl al-Sunnah, the people upon the Da'wah Salafiyyah, this is not their way. They are upon the book of Allah Ta'ala and upon the Sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and upon the best generations of Islam, the first three generations of Islam, and they are together upon that. Their hearts are together upon that. They have love and harmony and serenity and peace between themselves upon that. And this is contained in the Hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, which is Hasan and related by Tirmidhi. Also, Ajuri brought it in Sharia, And it is in accordance with other statements of the Sahaba like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and others that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this ummah was split into 73 groups, all of them in hellfire except one. All of them in hellfire except one. 72 in hellfire. 72 in hellfire. Those 72 that differed with one another, they broke off into groups. Each of them declared the other one to be disbelievers. Each one declared the other one to be astray. Each one declared the other one to be sinners and people who had transgressed the boundaries set by Allah Ta'ala. Groups cutting themselves off from one another, isolating themselves from one another, abandoning one another, boycotting one another. So this is the way of Ahlul Bidah that they do this. And one group together. One group together. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, who are they? Who is that one group that will be saved? Who is that one group that will be saved? O Messenger of Allah, the meaning of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, those who are upon what I am on today and my companions. Those who are upon what I am on today and my companions. In another narration, which the Sheikh says related by Adhuna Abu Huraira, and it's Hassan, Imam Ahmad brings it as Musnad, and Ibn Nu'aym brings it in Hilya, and he said it's Hassan, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I and my companions, and then those who came next, are the people of Adhar. The people upon the traces, the people on the narrations. The people of the narrations. So this is describing to us those who are in fact the Firqatul Najiyah or the Taifatul Mansura, the saved group. They are the ones upon what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions were upon. They are the ones that do not boycott one another, do not cut off one another, do not abandon one another, do not isolate one another. They are together upon Quran and Sunnah and the way of Salaf Saleh. They are together upon spreading the Dawah to Salafiyah. They are together upon all that is khair and good. And they will live upon this and die upon that and enter the Jannah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And into the paradise because of this. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith explained it very clearly. He rejected all the other groups, as the narration says, the ones upon the altar, and then he rejected all the rest. The people of desires, the people of innovation, the people of boycotting, the people of abandonment, the people of isolating themselves from one another. He rejected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rejected all of them, and said they're all in nar, all in the hellfire. Then he spoke about the one that will achieve success, the one that will achieve bliss, the one that will achieve serenity, the one who will enter the Jannah, and he described them, that they are the ones who are upon what I am on today and my companions. They are the ones upon the narrations. Then the Shaykh Hafidhullah continued to say, don't join other groups other than that which is being the Muslim upon Kitab as Sunnah Salaf Saleh. Don't connect yourself to the groups of Bid'ah and to the Ahzab or to the parties, for they have as a principle avoiding one another, backbiting, boycotting, rather he said, boycotting, isolation. This is a principle with them, that the very fact of joining them disconnects you from the other Muslims. So by association you begin to what? Isolate yourself. You begin to what? Cut off yourself from other Muslims. You begin to what? Abandon other Muslims. You begin to what? Boycott other Muslims. And this, as we have learned, is haram. So the very fact of you connecting yourself to those other groups, those other parties, those other, to these movements that exist nowadays, they will place within you things that are haram. They will present to you as principles
and present them in a good light, things that are known to be forbidden, things that are in fact haram. So he calls us to avoid the people of innovation, and to avoid the people of Hizbiya, and to avoid this because one of their biggest principles, he said, is the principle of making, the principle of the impermissible boycotting. This is a principle amongst them. That by the very fact, he said, that you join the group, you disconnect yourself from your Salafi brothers. By the very fact that you join the group, they say, don't associate with this one, don't associate with that one. This is a principle with them. So he says, avoid these groups.
فينبغي كما قلنا للمسلم أن يقارب أخوانه من أهل دينه ويؤلفهم ويودهم ويتحبب إليهم بكل ما يمكنه ويبرهم ولا يؤذي أحدا منهم ولا يجرحه ولا يخاطبه بما يكره ولا يلمزه ولا يهمزه ولا يسخر منه ولا يضحك غيره منه ولا يغتابه ولا يرضى من أحد أن يغتاب عنده ولا يفشي له سرا ولا يتبع له عورة ولا يفسد عليه حالا صالحا قد رضيها لنفسه وسكن إليها قلبه. ولما كان هذا الأصل الذي ينبغي أن يكون عليه المسلمون كان الهجر ممنوعا وجاءت النصوص الشرعية تترى في الزجر عنه وعن التباغض والتحاسد والتدابر. انظر الهجر في الكتاب والسنة للشيخ مشهور حسن صفحة 5. فلا بد أن يكون المسلم هكذا، لا يلمز أخوه المسلم ولا يغتاب أخوه المسلم ولا يضحك غيره ولا يفسد عليه أمرا، يذهب يشوش عليه هنا وهناك، يشوش عليه مثلا زوجته أو يشوش عليه والده أو أمه أو جيرانه أو يشوش عليه صديقه. فهذا يدب التدابر بين المسلمين والحقد والبغضاء والكره، وهذا أمر محرم، وأهل الإسلام وقعوا في هذا الأمر المحرم. فلا بد أن نبتعد عن هذه الأمور. وبينا في الأحاديث التي سلفت الزجر والنهي من الشارع أن يقع أهل الإسلام في الهجر. وقال ابن حجر في الفتح: ظهر الخبر إباحة ذلك، يعني الهجر، في 3 أيام فقط. إذا تخاصم مسلم مع مسلم له الإباحة 3 أيام فقط، وهو من الرفق. الإسلام والله سبحانه وتعالى رفق بالإنسان هذا، الإنسان هذا ضعيف، فإذا اختلف مع زميله تجد الشخص يهجر أخوه المسلم لأنه ضعيف، لأنه من طابعه الغضب، الإنسان من طابع الغضب وسوء خلق ونحو ذلك. فلذلك ترك الشارع 3 أيام له لكي يعود عقله له، لكي يبرد الغضب، يترك الغضب. بعد ذلك تجد المسلم هذا يرجع لأخوه المسلم. يقول الحافظ ابن حجر: والغالب أنه يزول أو يقل في 3 أيام. انتهى كلامه. الآدمي هذا ضعيف في طابعه، فيغضب فيختلف مع أخيه المسلم فيهجره، جعل له الشر 3 أيام إلى أن يعود. بعد 3 أيام يأثم. وأفضل مسلم الذي يسلم على أخوه المسلم. ونعني بالهجر الممنوع أو المحرم ترك الشخص مكالمة الآخر إذا تلاقيا، ومفارقة كلام أخيه المؤمن، وأعراض كل واحد منهما عن صاحبه عند الاجتماع، وترك السلام والكلام عند الملاقات ونحو ذلك. فالإسلام بين هذا الأمر، أن الإنسان يسلم على أخيه المسلم ويجالس أخوه المسلم وهكذا. وانظر في هذا الكلام العمدة في شرح صحيح البخاري للعيني جيمس 22 صفحة 141، وفتح الباري لابن حجر جيم 10 صفحة 492. قال الإمام مالك رحمه الله تعالى في الموطأ جيم 2 صفحة 907: لا أحسب التدابر إلا الإعراض عن أخيك المسلم فتدبر عنه بوجهك. فإذا لقيك أخوك المسلم سلم عليه وجالسه وواكله واشرب عنده وزوره، فهذا هو الأصل في الإسلام، وهذا هو الاجتماع، وهذه هي الألفة والمحبة. نعم.
The Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, therefore, we should understand the closeness that the Muslim should have. That the Muslim should be close to one another. And that the Muslim should want to be close to another Muslim. They want to be close because of their deen. They come to one another. They sit with one another. They talk to one another. They advise one another. They want good for one another. This is the closeness of the Muslims. It is not to be, as he said, that any Muslim will want to harm another Muslim. That any Muslim should not want to harm another Muslim. Not through talking about another Muslim, backbiting the other Muslim, slandering a Muslim, laughing at a Muslim, mocking the Muslim, making fun of the Muslim, causing others to laugh at the Muslim, backbiting, as he mentioned, telling his secrets. Muslim entrusts you with a secret. It is not a befitting that a Muslim would spread that, a secret that a Muslim has told him. Messing up or corrupting something good for a Muslim. You know that he plans to do something good, and you go out of your way to corrupt that, to make sure that he is not able to fulfill that thing which he wants to do, which is good. Telling secrets, as we said, mocking, laughing, speaking to him, speaking to the Muslim in a harmful way, knowing that what you say or what comes from your mouth is going to offend him. All of these are characteristics that the Muslim avoids. Characteristics that the Muslim avoid. This particular statement is mentioned by Sheikh Mansour Hassan in a book he has about the legislative boycotting, page 5. The Sheikh Hafidhahullah commented on this by saying that he does harm to the Muslim, and when he says stopping a Muslim from doing good, he goes and corrupts the Muslim's relationship between him and his wife, or between him and his brother, or between him and his friends, by words or expressions or tales that he relates that develops or brings about a hatred between people that there was love between them. This is not the characteristics that the Muslims were upon. the Muslims were avoiding that which would bring about hatred, jealousy, envy, backbiting, turning away, slander. The Muslims were avoiding this. And since this is the way the Muslim is supposed to be, this is why the Muslims were ordered to avoid boycotting one another. Because all of these matters that we mentioned were things that were not of their characteristics. Things that they were not allowed to be involved in the relationship between themselves and their brothers. Since these things were not there, since these matters that I mentioned, these horrendous matters were absent, they were told not to boycott one another. They were told to be close to one another. They were told to be together. And this is important to understand. He said, when we talk about the forbidden manner of boycotting, we explain very clearly in the ahadith that we brought the seriousness of the issue. There's another statement that he brings by Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, in which he says, the narration says, basically means that here there is a first, for the first 3 days, there is a permissibility. Because it says it's not permissible to avoid your brother beyond 3 days or above 3 days. So this shows that the first 3 days is a permissible time they're allowed by the legislator. He said this is to show rifq, gentleness to the individual. Because man is weak. Bani Adam or the children of Adam is weak. And he naturally becomes angry, naturally becomes offended, and he may have bad character that adds to this issue. So having mercy with him, the legislation has allowed him time, has given them that three-day period for a time for him to cool off, for his senses to return to him, for him to realize that this issue is a serious matter and that it does not require all that. Giving him time in consideration of his weak state, in consideration of the fact that he may be angry, in consideration of his feelings. And this is why Ibn Hajar says, and in the majority of cases, this does not take more than 3 days. 3 days, these matters go away. He was angry at his brother. 3 days later, he's not angry. He was offended. 3 days later, he's not offended. He was upset. 3 days later, he's not upset. The legislation has given that time period for that. Now, after that time period is gone, the best of the Muslims is the one who salams his brother. It's the one who reconciliates with his brother. It's the one who makes peace with his brother. It's the one who gathers himself again to be with and connected to his brother. He then explained also that what we mean by boycotting and turning away is that they don't talk to one another. There's no conversation between them. They don't talk to one another. He means turning away. He sees his Muslim brother comes in the door, he turns away the other way. He's walking towards him, he avoids him, he goes the other direction. Turning away. Intentionally avoiding his brother. He says not having any kalam or any salam. Not talking to one another, nor greeting one another. Not even the smallest right of a Muslim, which is to greet him. Not greeting one another. This is what is meant by the impermissible boycotting. And this is what is meant by the term boycotting. But rather the Muslim who is a good Muslim is the one who makes salam, and the one who makes peace, and the one who sits with his brother. He said, Al-Aini brings in a book called Al-Umda, which is an explanation of Bukhari, that Imam Malik rahimahullah said, turning away, in his Muwatta, turning away implies that you turn your face away from your brother. You see him, and you turn your face away from your brother. These are issues, or this manner is not permissible. when it takes place, that 3-day period is there. The best of the Muslim is the one who comes first and reconciliates and says salam and greets his brother. This is the proper manner to understand that. And this is regarding the impermissible boycotting.
وكيف المسلم يحصن نفسه من الهجر؟ كيف لا يهجر؟ من الأمور التي تحفظ المسلمين من الهجر بعضهم مع بعض لابد ترك الجماعات الحزبية كحزب التحرير وكحزب إخوان المسلمين وكحزب القطبيين وكحزب السروريين وحزب التراثيين وغير ذلك من الجماعات الحزبية وأهل التحزب. لماذا؟ لأن هؤلاء يعلمون المسلمين على الشحناء والبغضاء ويعلمون المسلمين على الهجر بعضهم مع بعض، بل رؤوس هذه الجماعات يعلمون أشياعهم وأتباعهم على هجر أهل الحق وعلى هجر حلقات أهل الحق وعلى هجر كتب أهل الحق وعلى هجر أشرطة أهل الحق، فلا بد أن تحذر هؤلاء، فإذا وقعت معهم يعلمونك على هجر المسلمين وخاصة هجر السلفيين، فلذلك لا بد أن تحذر هذا الأمر لكي تنجو من الهجر المحرم، ولا يكون الهجر إلا بوجود شحناء في القلب كحال المبتدع يبغضك ويحقد عليك فيهجرك، وكذلك الجاهل يحقد عليك فيهجرك، وكذلك الحزبي يحقد عليك في قلبه ويهجرك، فلذلك يجب عليك أن تحذر هؤلاء لكي لا تقع في الهجر، بل قد يكون من هؤلاء الحزبية حقد وغل في قلوبهم على طلبة العلم المتمكنين السلفيين وحقد على أتباعهم، فيأمرونك بهجر هؤلاء، وهذا لا يجوز هجر أهل الحق، ولا يجوز هجر حلقات أهل الحق من فقه وتوحيد وعقيدة وحديث وأداب وأخلاق. ما يجوز للمسلم أن يهجر حلقات أهل العلم الربانيين، فلذلك هؤلاء يعلمونك بهجر الحلقات العلمية، بهجر كتب الشيخ بن باز مثلا أو الشيخ نصر الدين الألباني مثلا أو الشيخ محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهكذا، ويأمرونك بقراءة كتب رؤوسهم كسيد قطب أو حسن البنا أو محمد السرور أو عبد الرحمن عبد الخالق أو عدنان عرعور أو غير هؤلاء من رؤوس الأحزاب، يأمرونك بقراءة كتب هؤلاء وسماع شرطة هؤلاء، فيجب عليك هجر كتب هؤلاء الحزبية وأشرطة الحزبية وجرائد الحزبية ومجلات الحزبية كمجلة السنة، يجب هجرها، وكذلك مجلة البيان يجب هجرها وهكذا، فانتبه لهذا الأمر جدا لكي تحفظ الأخوة الإسلامية وتحفظ الألفة الإسلامية الصحيحة والاجتماع الصحيح الذي يكون على الكتاب وعلى السنة
فإذا ذهبت مع هؤلاء المبتدعة يأمرونك بتبادر بهجر حلقات أهل العلم المنهجية وأنشطتهم وكتبهم وأشرطتهم، يأمرونك بهجر أنشطة السلفيين، فعليك أن تتعاون مع السلفيين ومع عموم المسلمين، هذا هو الأصل. لماذا يهجرونك هؤلاء الحزبية؟ وذنبك رغبتك عن طريقتهم الوخيمة وسيرتهم الذميمة، فلا تغتر بكثرة هذا الضرب، فإن الآلاف المؤلفة منهم لا يعدلون شخص واحد من طلبة العلم، والواحد من طلبة العلم يعدل ملء الأرض أو الأرض منهم، فلا تغتر بكثرة هؤلاء ولا كثرة أنشطة هؤلاء، فتغتر فتذهب معهم فيعلمونك على الهجر المسلمين، ويعلمونك على التدابر بين المسلمين والتقاطع بين المسلمين، فوقعت في المحرم ووقعت في المحظور وأثمت، فعليك أن تهجر هؤلاء وتتعاون مع أهل الحق ومع طلبة العلم على الكتاب وعلى السنة. إذن فالهجر أي هجر الحزبية بهذه الصفة من الهجر من ممنوع، لأنهم يهجرون حلقات أهل العلم. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان في وجوب التثبت في الأخبار صفحة 38: وأما هجر المؤمن المستقيم فهذا حرام إذا لم تصدر منه معصية، ولهذا نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن التدابر والتقاطع. انتهى كلامه، انظر ماذا يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان: وأما هجر المؤمن المستقيم فهو حرام. فهجر السلفيين حرام، أهل الحديث حرام، هجر عموم المسلمين حرام، ما يجوز. فلا يجوز هجر المسلم المستقيم، فلذلك هؤلاء الحزبية يهجرون المسلم المستقيم ويحذرونك منه ويأمرونك بهجره وهكذا. وهذا لعل عند بعض الأخوان معروف، فلا يأمرونك بهجر الشخص المستقيم، ولذلك أقول لك دع الحزبيين في صحبتك فليس لك منهم مال ولا علم. أخوان العلانية أعداء السر إذا لقوك تملقوا لك، إذا لقوك تملقوا لك، وإذا غبت عنهم سلقوك بألسنة حداد، من أتاك منهم كان عليك جاسوسا، وإذا خرج كان عليك مشوشا. أهل الاختلاف وأهل غيبة ونميمة وغل وحقد وغش وخديعة وخيانة وهجر لا تغتر باجتماعهم، يعني اجتماع الحزبيين، تحسبهم جميعا وقلوبهم شتى، لكن الاجتماع ليس مجرد الجمع، لابد أن يكون اجتماع على الكتاب وعلى السنة، هذا هو الاجتماع الصحيح. فلذلك هؤلاء يشوشون عليك، فما غرضهم العلم؟ ليس غرض هؤلاء العلم، بل الشهرة وحب الظهور والدعاية والمال وجمع التبرعات وحب التزعم والرئاسة، يتخذونك سلما إذا عملت معهم على تكثير سوادهم، وحمارا إلى حاجتهم، إن عرفتهم كانوا أشد الأعداء إليك، ويرون حقا واجبا عليك فعل باطلهم أو باطلهم وطاعتهم في الصواب والخطأ، ويعرضون عنك إن بذلت نصحك ودينك لهم. يجب عندهم أن تعادي عدوهم وإن كان محقا، وأن تنصر رؤوسهم الجهلة، وتوالي حزبهم، وتمدح لهم أصاغرهم
أهل التعالم، وأنت فقيها
من طلبة العلم. إذا اتبعتهم أنت فقيه، وتكون لهم تابعا
خسيسا بعد أن كنت طالب علم حبيبا.
فاقطع مودة الحزبية ولا تلازمهم، فيها نجاة للمسلم الحق.
Shaykh Habibullah states,
how can a Muslim protect himself from falling into this forbidden, impermissible boycotting?
How can a Muslim protect himself?
Now that we know how horrendous it is, how hateful it is, the severe punishment that will come to one who falls into it and doesn't repent from it, how can we protect ourselves from falling into it? He said one of the first means to protect oneself from falling into the impermissible boycotting or avoid or abandonment of a Muslim is to leave the Hizbiyun or the Hizbiyin.
The groups, the Hizbis. Leaving them is the first and foremost method and remedy to avoiding
this crime of boycotting Muslims.
And he said he means by this Hizb al-Tahrir,
Ikhwan al-Muslimun, the Qutubis,
meaning those who follow the ideology and the methodology and the beliefs and ways and practices of Sayyid Qutub, Muhammad Qutub,
the Sururis, those who are upon what Muhammad
Surur Zain al-Abidin is upon, the Turafis, those who would like to follow what Jama'iyat Ihya' Turaf is upon,
and all of these groups like them.
Avoiding these groups is the first means to avoiding
falling into the sin of the impermissible manner or the impermissible
matter of boycotting Muslims.
This is because these groups teach boycotting Muslims.
These groups teach hating other Muslims that are not a part of their group.
These groups teach having anger and disdain
for those Muslims that are not
under their banner or are not part of them. These groups teach avoiding the circles of the people.